Welcome back. Love Boat Project, episode 22.
Deuce, deuce.
Joseph Heller special. I'm Mike Robertson, joined as always by Mike Taylor. Ahoy, Mike.
Ahoy.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm very excited to talk about this episode.
About this totally normal episode?
Well, in context of the last episode, I'm looking for a life preserver. I'm looking for... Yep. Another reason to feel good about the Love Boat again.
Yeah. Joining us this week, special guest, Mr. Kevin Redding. Kevin, how are you?
Ahoy, ahoy.
Welcome aboard.
So, Kev, we ask the same question of all our guests. Have you ever been on a cruise?
I've been on one cruise. I think it's the best cruise that you can go on because it's out of Seattle, up the Inner Passage of Alaska. So you're not out at like sea. You can see mountains and everything. So, yeah.
You really
one
went.
Cruise, excellent cruise. I don't know if I'm a cruise guy, though.
You really went in the opposite direction of the Pacific Princess. You went up instead of down.
That was the first question I had of the Pacific Princess that later got answered. So.
Was it going to Alaska?
I wonder if
always
there's
out of LA.
Wonder if there's a special episode where they go north. You know, love north.
I think
of the border.
I'm trying.
Down to Baja, from what I understand.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get too far ahead, but I do think they have some special episodes where that boat somehow ends up somewhere else, like
London.
Well, what? There's that life preserver for London. I think the season opener next year. Spoiler. The two-parter to start season two, I think it's like marooned or something.
So, oh, that would be awesome.
So look for that. Look for that around Memorial
Day. River cruise.
Yeah, it's an old-fashioned gambling boat.
Yachtagany.
In the Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Woo! So, Kev, we'll be looking for you to compare what I'm sure are the exact same cruises, the cruise to Alaska and this horny boat that we ran into this week. So we are here to talk about season one, episode 22. One title this week.
So weird.
Musical Cabins. It is a real departure from what we've seen in the past. Spunky gossip reporter O'Rourke writes an expose of the high seas lust. Shai Nelson has a week to marry or lose his inheritance. Dee Dee moves out of her chauvinistic fiance Kurt's cabin, and widow Irene impersonates a socialite. Now, let me say, a few weeks ago, when I was talking to Kevin, I was like, here are the lists of all the remaining episodes. Which one would you like to do? And we immediately stopped at this one because this was a synopsis that I dare say under-promised what really happened this week. So...
I also felt like this was a great episode for you, Kevin. I felt like this is a great.
It was scandalous.
Yeah.
It begged a lot of questions.
Some physical humor
a lot of
there.
Intrigue, I would say.
Love it. Nothing too serious though.
So, Kevin, how much Love Boat had you seen in your life or knowledge of it did you have?
I will say that I've maybe seen two episodes of Love Boat that I can recall as an adult.
Yeah.
So very little. Had no idea what I was getting into.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's underwhelming.
Kind of where we have landed, right, Mike? I mean, it's like, I think we thought we had seen more than we had.
I think it's one of those like osmosis things. Like maybe in the being in the same room while, because, you know, the same channel would always be on, whether it was like in syndication. So it'd be like a Gilligan's Island would go into that. So I feel like it was always sort of there. Maybe I wasn't paying attention to it. Like I don't think I ever watched a full episode, but so I knew the song and the people, you know.
I feel like it was easily dated, but well produced for the time it's in. Would be my like take on this episode. don't know.
This is, it's interesting because I don't know, Mike, if you agree, this is one of the best episodes that we've watched.
I agree.
Now, Kev, the difference is, and I kind of alluded to it already, is so in a normal Love Boat episode and all the ones that we've done so far, there are three storylines with three different writers and three different directors. This episode, while there are three storylines, they all kind of are intermingled. There's one writer, Mike. I wrote him down here. Mike Norell
wrote the whole thing
himself, and I think it really made a difference. I think it was a much better episode. You had O'Rourke, who was kind of like in the whole thing, and the characters intermixed and everything. I think it really made for a better show.
It had a much better.
Did he go on to write Mulholland Drive?
I thought it had a good flow. Like some of the bad episodes, I'm looking at the runtime and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
There's 28 minutes left of this garbage. Like last week. But this week, I think it everything worked because everything was coordinated, everything was related. It was
it's one guy, right? It's one mind. When you have the three storylines, you're not thinking about what the other person's doing.
It was quick. There was no like extra time spent on superfluous scenes.
It was good.
No, it was really good. And I really think the O'Rourke character was a great through line. Not that it necessarily needed to be tied together or whatever, but it was like, here's a little break. Here's a little interlude, almost with a little narration recap thing.
Oh, there she is behind the bush again.
Yeah, and it's just simple prop comedy, right? But it's like, it was good. Like, it was really good.
And she sold it so well. Her facial expressions were exaggerated, but not like cartoonish. It was perfect. It was perfect.
So Mike and other listeners who've been following around with us, Mike Norell wrote, this was the last of his six episodes that he wrote this season. And he's got some doozies. The other storylines that he wrote included the Julie Buddy Stanfield affair.
Okay.
The Stacey Stubing affair.
One of the best storylines of the season.
And Roxy Blue.
It's a great storyline.
He also wrote The Last of the Stubings. So he's kind of all over the place.
Wow. Wow.
Where did those fall?
Okay. What's that?
Where did those fall? Like, was that scattered throughout the season?
Yeah. One of them was the first episode. Then there was like maybe four or five and 10. It seems like we have some favorite writers that did about six, and it's kind of the same cadence. They would do like maybe one every three or four episodes. So, but this is the first time anybody's written a whole episode. So
are you aware of the most recent successful comedy sitcom that does that every writer, like multiple writer deal?
I honestly, except for maybe like these shows that knocked off Love Boat, like Fantasy Island and
Hotel, American Style, and stuff like that. I think it was
these anthology shows where they have different people every week.
Was that the guy who was married to Barbara Streisand? Herman.
Yeah.
I think you are right. I think it was like that. It was always.
I imagine they're the only ones I'm aware of that do something like that. So. Original air date for this baby, May 6, 1978, in the shadows of Cinco de Mayo. Okay, so play a little game here.
All right.
We have a favorite feature. What else was on? I have four what else was on facts.
All right.
I have them numbered. We'll see how the first two go, and maybe we'll do all four, or maybe I'll keep them to myself forever, but you each get to pick at least one number. So Kevin, as the guest, pick a number between 1 and 4 for a what else was on TV fact.
Total random?
Yeah.
3.
Number 3. On NBC, the Oscar-winning movie Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore aired.
Whoa.
This is the movie that eventually led to Alice. And Mike, we talked about
We just talked about Alice
last week. Right. So
haven't seen it.
Again, that's a heavy hitter going against. Like we said last week.
That's a real movie.
They're taking swings.
Alice had already been on the TV for two seasons, but it was on CBS. So this is not something where CBS was showing it because CBS had Alice. NBC was showing it because CBS had Alice, maybe.
That's dirty. Love it.
So three main stars of Alice would make Love Boat appearances. I did look ahead. So we have three of the main Alice people. I'm not counting like the fifth waitress that replaced Flo or something like that.
Okay.
But we don't get our first one till the end of season two.
Okay.
And we don't get any Tayback till like way later down the road.
The only one I care about is the Tayback.
But we do get Philip McKeon, who we did talk about last week.
Oh, we did.
So I did a lot of Alice.
He's in a Love Boat.
He's in a Love Boat, yeah.
7 feet tall.
Yeah.
Bless you.
Okay, Mike, we have one, two, and four left.
Four.
Number four, the episode of Fantasy Island that aired after Love Boat tonight. Plumber Ernie Miller's fantasy to be a king is challenged with diplomatic problems and a troubled queen. Grad student and self-proclaimed child-rearing expert Gail Grayson is put to the test when she babysits her mentor's children. The plumber was played by Bosley from Charlie's Angels.
Oh.
Pretty excited.
Let me ask you, you said Ernest Miller. Are we talking about the cat?
I know it's funny when I wrote that. I was like, that name sounds familiar. I can't figure out why.
What was he doing then? Was he practicing karate?
Kung Fu. He's doing Kung Fu. Would you like to go through the other two? Or
I think we should. I think these are great.
Okay.
I love the What's On segment.
Kev, number one or number two?
Let's go one.
Good one. Good choice.
Airing at 8 p.m. that night on ABC, so just a scant hour before this Love Boat, Mel and Susan Together, a variety show starring Mel Tillis and Susan Anton.
It used to be What's Happening. Used to be the lead in.
Four episodes. This was the third of four episodes that lasted. Mel Tillis was a country singer and sometimes actor. He was in one of the Cannonball Runs.
And, this is an hour long show.
I think was somebody's mom or wife on Baywatch.
Hey, do you have the Nielsens on that episode?
Unavailable.
It's so, 1 hour.
This is so unavailable that when you go on the IMDb, it says no information. Like, do you want to be the first person to do?
They whatever? Were just like, there's no point.
Yeah. The fun part, though, the two guests that night on this variety show were JJ Walker.
Of course. How are you doing? Fantastic.
And Donnie Most.
Two alum.
Now, Donnie Most has been
older. Oh, I'm not. No. You're thinking of Potsy.
Yet to set sail.
What was the name of that show again?
It was called Mel and Susan Together. So,
thank you.
Look for it on all your apps.
Mel,
that leaves the last one, number two. We'll close it out here. It was Hooker Night on CBS. So, the debut of the Ted Knight Show premiered. Ted ran a high-end escort service in New York City. That was on at 8:30. That show lasted six episodes. What?
This is real.
This is real.
Okay.
What did you say? 76?
Six.
78.
Six.
Six episodes.
Meant...
Six.
No. 76 or 78?
78.
That's
wild.
That's risque.
That great show was followed by the Cheyenne Social Club, starring Henry Fonda and Jimmy Stewart, and the plot of that on Hooker Night. An aging cowboy finds, to his embarrassment, that the successful business he has inherited from his brother is actually
hookers,
a house of prostitution.
Hooker Night continues.
big night over at CBS.
Bunch of heavy hitters.
Yeah. but they are getting away from.
I don't remember all these hooker shows from back then.
Nobody does.
Finite time. Nobody does. So. But yeah, we started the season with like Carol Burnett and with Starsky and Hutch in there.
Jefferson's going in.
Now we're
in Hooker Town.
Well, see,
now
it's funny.
Hooker Town and real movies.
They were throwing competition at them, like the Saturday Night Movie, which were always fantastic. They deserve their own project.
Fantastic
and,
in a
and
quote.
Something. Yeah. It just, but now you got 90-minute Jefferson's episodes that cut into it. You have Oscar-winning movies. As we discussed right now, The Love Boat, how many, what is it? 21.9 million viewers per episode.
Yeah. But so, only 13th.
Yeah.
Or 14th. Only
14th. Right? 14th. Yeah. So. It's crazy.
Okay. The cast is actually pretty small this week, which, again, credit to the writing, because it felt like a much bigger cast because they just kept switching.
Everybody's moving. It was great.
But only 5 people. Dick Gauthier.
This guy.
Played Kurt Stanzel.
Ah.
Male chauvinist.
Good Lord.
Huge cartoon voice actor in the 80s. He was on Transformers. He played Rodimus Prime.
Yeah, I remember that.
Among others. And then on G.I. Joe, among others, he played Serpentor.
That's
better than Rodimus Prime.
Yeah, I didn't know who Rodimus Prime
was. I don't know who Rodimus Prime
was. No, I think Optimus Prime got died or something. And then he was replaced by this Rodimus Prime.
Rodimus Prime?
By Serpentor.
Yeah. By there's a TV movie about that.
I just Transformers with Serpentor. Serpentor was a great G.I. Joe toy because he was he had a long snake tail.
He was cool.
I think he came in a special
block. Had the Pharaoh snake head, the snake staff.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't fit in a normal.
He was super badass.
Yeah.
That's a great movie.
Yeah.
Guess who's back?
Paul Williams.
Third time this season as a completely different character. Michelle Lee is back as Irene Funston / Irene Germain. Mike, thoughts on Michelle Lee back for a third time?
We have 2 more episodes after this, right, until the end of the season. And it's amazing to me, number one, the amount of double appearances. But to go for 3, it's just odd. It's just odd. But
she's good.
I thought she was good.
She's good. And but it is weird. I understand it's weird for us because we're watching these in a pretty short order. But as a viewer, I've said it every time we've talked about somebody returning, we have gotten through this whole season without doubling up on a guest. Love Boat, you could have done the same.
Yeah, but maybe it was intentional in the sense that, you know, quote unquote, America loves Michelle Lee, and there's a noticeable spike when she's on things. Maybe it's intentional in that way with some of these people, Marsha was on.
Yeah, the Marsha Brady.
Maybe I did say nobody from Happy Days this week, though, right?
No,
we got a Happy Days break. Okay,
we're in a Happy Days drought, MASH drought. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I mean, really, nobody's really on. I guess Marsha Wallace is on Newhart, but besides that.
Yeah, so an unbiased opinion is, I thought she played her character well. I didn't know it was a multiple appearance. So
yeah,
not
but different characters every time. So no, she's good. I mean, we've said that she's really good. It's not last week Leslie Nielsen was on for the second time and he was terrible. he mailed it in. So
nothing.
That's bad.
Yeah,
I like Leslie.
We all do, but not last week.
Zero effort. It was nothing. He wouldn't even get me started.
Barbara Rhodes played Dee Dee Donnelly. I don't have much on Barbara Rhodes, but she's been around as an actress.
I'm into
what you're a fan of. You're a fan of Dee Dee Donnelly?
I'm a fan of that first scene with Dee Dee. Sure.
That first scene is a lot. That first act is a lot. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that was.
We've already given her some credit already. Marsha Wallace, who plays O'Rourke, of course, probably best known as Mrs. Krabappel on The Simpsons forever. You could hear Mrs. Krabappel in a lot of that.
Every time
I did not know that, and yeah, you can absolutely hear them. Yeah,
she even looks like her. Like they made her look like her a little bit too.
Yeah. At the time she was on the Bob Newhart show, she was his secretary.
She's fantastic.
She's great. She was absolutely great. Really knocked it out of the park. And what I remember when we were looking at the synopsis a few weeks ago, it was like, okay, what's this going to be? Like, she only has one name. She's a gossip columnist. Like, what awfulness is this going to be? And it was just tremendous.
I'd say that hair is
the file.
Was that like her trademark? Is that a wig? Like, what is that real?
I think that's a staff haircut at Defile magazine.
Okay.
I used to have that haircut, Mike.
You did used to have that haircut. That's a very good point.
You should be O'Rourke for Halloween this year.
Yeah.
Is that the most obscure costume?
Yeah. It might be.
I look, who are you? My forehead looks more like the doctor's.
I got a lot to say about that guy this week, too.
And our final guest this week.
Yes.
I'm going to turn it over to Mike Taylor, who has guessed this guy being somebody else multiple times this season. Go with
Mr. Paul Williams. Oh, Mr.
Paul Williams.
Oh,
as what was his name? Nelson Hoag.
Awesome. I'm such a big fan of this guy.
Yeah.
That guy, he's a multiple
star. No, here's this guy.
No.
Wrote the theme song to The Love Boat.
Amongst many, 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 many other songs. He was also in Smokey and the Bandit. He was the younger of the two brothers.
That's right. He's been around. He was the guy in the white suit with the,
That's right. With him and his brother, wanted the chorus.
He's got a look, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but he's a smaller gentleman, and he's written so many songs. I am such a big fan, and I've heard a lot of radio interviews with him, and he's like a sweetheart of a person as well. Love him.
Rainy Days and Mondays, Rainbow Connection.
Yes, Rainbow. That's the other one. Rainbow Connection. He had a big Muppet thing too. Wrote a lot of songs for that Muppet movie, the first Muppet movie. But yeah,
he also was playing a 24-year-old in this, and he was 37. So
here we go again.
Yep. Before we get on the boat, any last thoughts?
Yeah. One thing in this, how old was Kurt Stansel supposed to be?
I bet you he was in his early 30s, maybe.
Something like that. Okay.
Did you think Dee Dee was very young, or
Kurt Stansel?
The chauvinist guy.
Chauvinist Kurt Stansel. Okay. Yeah.
I felt like she didn't come across as young as she was trying to come across. If that makes sense.
We've had such weird age things this last few weeks that I guess I didn't really even think about it. And it's hard to tell when the guy is being that ridiculous how old he is.
Right.
How old is Michelle Lee in this? Like, it was really.
Well, because I was like, well, how old do you have to be? How old would you have to be
to be chauvinist?
Somewhat acceptable. Yeah, to be that level of chauvinist in 78. Like, would you? Anyway, but I was way overthinking it. But
no, I think that chauvinism lasted way longer than 78.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's probably something that gets passed down throughout the stencil.
She was old enough, Mike. She was old enough.
Yeah. Fair enough.
She wasn't a fine filly like Julie was.
No. Oof.
All right, let's get on the boat. And we start exactly with that happy couple, Kurt Stansel and Dee Dee Donnelly, board the ship. And man, does Kurt come in hot.
Dude, she's carrying all the crap. That good. Oh, poor lady.
We always talk about the episodes.
Face grab. There's a face grab.
It's a lot
he's
of
making her carry the bag too.
He's treating her like cattle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
he's like a burro.
He calls her his animal, right?
Finest animal he's ever owned.
Yeah. Grabs her by the face. Finest animal I've ever
owned. Among his quotes during that is high sugar, my chick, and yeah, finest animal that I've ever owned. Julie, not impressed. And unlike some weeks, Julie not impressed and then doesn't go near him. So it's not something where Julie's like, I hate you, I love you. So.
Yeah, but this whole interaction here is that started that crazy fire inside of her this episode. That whole thing woke up something inside of her,
man,
where she was on the prowl, like for real.
About Julie and her status and libido.
There's a lot.
Yeah, I imagine for you with no context and us with all the context we've gotten in season one, we're both going to be very confused for different reasons. So,
yeah.
Doc meets Nelson Hogue, who is very interested in where they keep the women.
So Nelson, a little Van Morrison-esque.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
Totally agree.
I'd go
totally
with that.
Agree.
All right.
So one of the things that threw me off during the first scene was I knew Paul Williams. I knew he did the credit or the theme song. For some reason in my head, I thought he was the guy who sang the theme song. And then when he starts to talk, I'm like, this is not the guy who sang the theme song. And then I realized.
No.
Yeah. So, but he also starts the first of, I mean, how many proposals did he put out there? That's seven, eight, probably.
Those are the ones we saw.
Yeah. And he gets shot down immediately, but there's no explanation yet in this scene. And Doc is not impressed with these tactics at all.
I do have something to say about some of these proposals and first interactions.
Sure.
They built a brassiere differently back in the 70s.
How so, Kevin?
A little more torpedo.
Sure. Shape. Was that just the style then?
I think so. I mean, I think it was a... Yeah, it was like a directed at you.
Like a ballet slipper. Like there's padding in it to like extend the.
Just like a cardboard.
Yeah, like a little tip.
Sole.
Like a filter. Like if there's a little filter in the end, it's like a little.
I mean, if you're going to wear it,
if you look from the 50s to the 70s and you've got a voluptuous woman, it's a different curvature than anywhere before or after that.
That's why you don't see them in the water, because those cardboard cones will just disintegrate and maybe one will get wet, maybe one won't. You never see them get wet.
You bring up a good point.
Madonna was just behind her times.
Second point. Yeah. Was anyone in the water this week?
No.
Nobody.
No pool? No nothing?
Nothing.
Not even like a background pool.
There's no time.
Nelson and Irene slept on the deck.
Yeah.
Right, but nobody
by
was
the pool, but they did not enter the water. The pool.
Very interesting. And look, yeah. Who knows? See, it really does add to the fact that all that stuff that we always comment on as being filler is exactly that. Filler.
And
we don't need it on a good episode.
Another episode, no captain's dinner. Not one.
I have a point about that actually when we get
I would like to.
Because that was actually, that felt like a choice and maybe a missed opportunity, but maybe not. A giant bouquet of flowers is delivered to the ship for an Irene Germain. And Julie mentions that she's also received several cablegrams for her as well. I like that we got a delivery guy on the boat. It's like a DoorDash.
Sure.
Who tips on that? Nobody?
Nobody's tipping on that. Who's going to tip? Nobody's right. Tipping on that.
I've got a couple questions about this. One, the phrase tawny creature was thrown out there.
Yeah. And I couldn't tell if they were trying to play up that maybe she was like self-bronzing, because she's clearly like playing a role here.
She's got kind of a head injury look going on.
Yeah.
You know, like the tight wrapped under.
She had that wrap when she was playing a rich Hollywood A-lister on the last episode. I was worried rich she was going to stick with that the whole time.
Wait,
rich people wear hair wraps?
I like when she let her hair out on the deck and had a real real Kevin Redding hairstyle at the mid 2000s. So.
I'd like to also, like, you know, I think in that one she does Marlon Brando, Jack Nicholson, Burt Reynolds drops.
I wrote them all down. Let me grab them here. Hold on. So these are all the name drops.
These are the telegrams or the cablegrams.
These are everybody. This is throughout the whole episode. These are all the name drops, whether it's a telegram or her just offhanded saying it or a phone call. So we got Bert, Marlon, Jack, Warren, Rudolph Nureyev, Dustin, George Scott, Truman, Sylvester, Marlon again, unless that was like Marlon Perkins or something.
She wishes.
Al, Liz, Charles, Phil.
Is that Pacino?
It's got to be, right?
It's not Hitchcock.
It might be.
Al Hitchcock, I could not be bothered.
Liz, Charles, Phil, Annie, the President, and Neil Armstrong. So those were all Armstrong, the people. Yeah.
Phil who? Who's Phil? Cliff. Zudo? I mean, who?
Holy cow!
The Money Store. Like, what? I don't know what. He was
Nicholson.
He was on PIX.
That would have been
great. He was calling it. Calling game PIX.
Holy cow! Let me tell you, Irene Germani.
Would have been awesome. It'd been awesome.
I want to watch that episode. So I always find it funny when they do stuff like that on this show. Burt Reynolds has gotten shouted out a few episodes because he is the biggest star in the world, probably at this time, right?
I mean, coming off. Oh, yeah.
This is like 78. So. This is all Burt Reynolds. Like
Gator. I mean, Longest Yard.
Cannonball Run. Smoking the Bandit.
Smoking the Bandit. Like Smoking the Bandit 2.
He was, that magazine spread where you almost see his schlong.
Yeah.
He could do no wrong.
No bigger star. So,
no bigger star.
But who is really Irene Germani? We find out in the next scene. We get one of our favorite locations, the car drop-off port.
We love that.
Where her sister not only delivers Irene to the boat, but delivers exposition and plot to the rest of us. And here they explain that Irene is actually Irene, who is a widowed housewife from Tacoma, which is a neighborhood in Los Angeles. I did look it up.
Yeah.
And basically, she's been widowed for a while, but now she just wants to have some fun. And she tells her sister to make a bunch of phone calls to throw people off.
Okay, listen. As a whole, I enjoyed this episode. But now that we've begun the story, I have to say, this thing didn't make much sense to me at all. Meaning, whatever the explanation is going in did not meet the explanation going out. Meaning, like, I don't know what her definition of I just want to go have. I don't know what she was doing, but she invested so much money in whatever she is. She didn't have to do any of that. I don't understand.
Okay, this stooping
still would have been at her. It's odd, yeah.
So with the whole like defile woman and this horny widow, like, is this known as a fuckboat or a love?
Yeah.
You know, so I come into it as like, oh, this is just a random episode. It's a Minnesota Vikings cruise.
This is a particularly heightened episode for this. Like, not like in a normal episode where there's three storylines, not all three storylines are this horny, right? This is a particularly one. We've had ones like this, but there have been allusions on different episodes to the Love Boat as the Love Boat and kind of it. So I think there's at least this felt like, and Mike, maybe you agree or not, this felt like a season finale.
It did. It did.
Where they were kind of like rounding out the season and also maybe some of the feedback that they've gotten over it or whatever. It really had that feel because, Kev, I think we'll get to it when we kind of talk about Julie, but like there were things being said here that were not consistent necessarily with the character's arc for the season.
So and they were sort of like throwing the ball around. Like, sometimes in episodes, we'll see people not involved at all. Everybody was involved, sort of. Yeah, there was stuff happening. That's why it did feel like a very. Yeah. I mean, who knows what we'll feel like after watching the real season finale? But
yeah,
I could totally see this in its place.
I would have been okay if this was the season finale.
Same here.
How long after a spouse dies are you considered a widow or widower?
Next day.
Not long.
23 hours.
Get back on the horse.
I think the moment it happens.
No, how long? But I'm saying, like, so she makes it very clear that it's been a while. But then when push comes to shove, she wasn't over her husband.
Right.
So at the beginning of the episode, I was like, has he been dead for years? Now I'm not sure. Like, how long do you think Phil was dead?
3 minutes. She immediately...
Oh, no.
Picked up the phone. Love Boat. What's up?
But I don't understand it. Why
as much like costume jewelry as possible. I'm going to wrap my head up in a bandage.
Send these flowers from the grave to the boat. See,
that's my issue with this is that her sister, right? She says something in here about how her late husband would be spinning in his grave if he knew how much of his hard-earned money she was wasting on creating this like facade. So like, that's the other thing I don't get. Was she secretly pissed at him? Did she find out that he like, or something, something's not.
Does she have kids? Does housewife necessarily mean you have kids?
I mean, she's spending all this money, like all these flats for what? I don't understand what she was trying to get out of that.
They tried
Horned up Steubing didn't really care about that. I mean, he would have the same end result without all this craziness, and you'd have more money in your pocket.
I think they tried to explain it at the end of that, but it didn't necessarily land.
No, yeah. They were trying to just justify it at that point. It was just.
Yeah, I will give you that was, of all the plots, that one was a little thin on premise.
So. I mean, it's fun. It was entertaining, but. Not logical.
I was going to say you probably were entertained because we got to see Steubing flirting, which is a whole other thing.
He's just such an embarrassment. Just
I've got something to say about Mr. Steubing.
Steubes?
About Dr. Steubes? Steubing.
That's a different guy.
Different guy.
All right, so O'Rourke time. She's an undercover reporter for Defile magazine. Mike, Defile magazine from the people who brought you Scuttlebutt?
Easily. It's probably the same magazine. They had to change ownership because they got sued after the last article came out. Has to be.
She's writing a story about, quote, this bucket of lust. It's great. But she's basically kind of sidling up to Gopher to use him as a source.
Oh yeah.
Kind of help him out, you know, put the names to the faces. But she's out there looking for musical cabins, wife swapping, organized hanky panky.
Organized hanky panky.
Is that a RICO charge?
That's funny.
So yeah, Kev, I don't think it's a little bit of a leap, but it's not the biggest leap in the world that Defile magazine would be you know, maybe on the lookout for this boat and their activities. There's been a lot of stuff that's happened this year. We've had we had a congressman involved in this scandal.
Yeah.
We had an attempted murder. We've had a lot of stuff.
Wait, that congressman wasn't the same one in Godfather, was it?
No. It was Dick Van Patten, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, sexiest congressman in Washington, D.C.
If you like round and Dutch, you'll love Dick Van Patten.
This is when Irene walks onto the boat and we get that tawny line. But also we get a pretty smitten Steubing.
Oh boy.
Who actually tells Doc to kind of stand down because he's got his eyes on the prize here.
Because he's got nothing to do, right? He's not even operating two sticks right now.
We didn't even get the weird boat steer this week.
We didn't get that this episode. If you notice that, there was no him steering anything. He's got so little to do.
He did not do much this week.
No.
And he was drinking, too.
He looked like an idiot.
Okay, so is the doctor always horn dog?
Yes.
Is he Doc Slay every episode? Yeah.
And we will get to it in a little bit. But last week's episode, Doc was awful. Like
it was gross.
Maybe
like,
he should have been brought up on charges bad.
Yeah. It wasn't
and cool. So I think this I do wonder if this week was comeuppance or if they knew that one week was going to be one way and so they put it this way. I think when he got punched in the face, that was for not just this week's episode. So
unless they aren't recorded
of all time.
unless they're just not recorded in a linear sort of way. And then they just throw whatever. But yeah.
I felt better about Doc this week in that he started to be lecherous, got called on being lecherous and got hit in the face and had to sleep in a bathtub. So
there's a moment in this episode that is so awkward that I got to that moment on my second watch. I had to zoom through. I cannot physically uncomfortable with the scene.
I'm going to register a guess in my mind.
Yeah. You probably guessed it.
All right. So back in the cabin, Kurt is being Kurt.
Wait, did he draw that woman?
No. Back in the cabin, Kurt's being Kurt, which is not going over well with his fiance. This is where he threatens to punch Dee Dee, which gets a laugh track. Great job, guys.
Just
and then he has the quote, "The big guy is the Rock Island line. You want to ride it? You ride it like you find it. If you don't like it, adios, amigos." This guy is the worst.
He's just the worst. It's great.
So, like, it is honestly like somebody wrote that guy's character nowadays, trying to write it for back then.
It's so funny.
It's amazing. And there was, like, really, there was no way that wasn't going to end, like, a certain way for him. So I guess maybe they felt like they could really come in incredibly hot, but it's like really ridiculous.
No,
like,
but,
I love that. I digress
about how it ends for him.
But he, in theory, right? I don't necessarily know if they landed the plane, but in theory, he did learn a lesson. Now, the fact that he fell right into another woman who likes that is
so ridiculous
all together. But
I thought my favorite part, it just was so ridiculous when he was like, "Bring me back some cigarettes." And I was like, "Damn." And she would later rub my back, bring me back some cigarettes. Then she brings it up later. Oh, he wanted me to bring back. Oh, it's just so, what a big funny thing to cigarettes. Tell somebody what to do in the midst of a heated exchange. Good Lord.
Yeah. Here's a list for when you realize how wrong you are. Here's a grocery list for you. Back to Nelson striking out. We finally get the explanation. If he's not married by 25, which is next week, he loses his inheritance. So now we
age is a little. Come on.
Now we understand.
And you said how old is he in real life?
37.
37. He's the same age as Frankie Avalon.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Wow. How about that?
I wouldn't think standing next to each other, they'd be the same age, but look at us. Okay.
Gopher tried to give Nelson some advice, and it didn't go well because, of course, he asks Dee Dee, who is on the way to find another room, and she kind of freaks out. Dee Dee goes over to Gopher and asks if there are any additional rooms, because Kurt sucks, but the ship is, quote, filled to the gunnels.
Gunnels.
That doesn't work.
Boat term?
It's not a boat. I mean, it's a boat term. It's just the wrong term.
Can we get a definition?
Aren't gunnels like the side rails on a ship?
What if they're filled to the side rails?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a cruise ship.
Well, there was an instant coffee.
Like, the rooms aren't even like the room they're standing in is.
Yeah, but filled. there was an old coffee called Brim. And they would say, fill it to the rim with brim. It's the same thing.
Why is that the same thing?
Fill it to the gunnels.
Mm-hmm.
With brim.
With brim.
With Runnels. Dustin Runnels.
So there's
Cody
no
Cody Runnels.
Ryan Runnels.
So. You know, poor Dee Dee, she's got nowhere to go, right?
Nowhere to go.
Of course, who hears that?
I bet she'd have a hard time. Old Dee Dee.
Doc comes down and he's like, hey, I got a room, baby. Why don't you take a stay at the doctor's cabin? And he, you know, offers his cabin with no strings attached.
None.
You lie.
Doc lives in C-117, so we should make sure we keep track of that because I'm sure that'll be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And here's our first, I think, of many O'Rourke pop-ins. She just like comes out of a wall with a notebook.
Love it. Love it.
It's like so you funny. Can't do that on television or something. It's great.
Love it. And she's so comical with her face. She just has just a...
No, like the bug eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
she's just perfect.
Fantastic. O'Rourke says this article is going to make Hugh Hefner blush. So... Ooh. There's a lot going on. Defile magazine is going to be a bestseller this week.
Note, she didn't say Larry Flint.
Yeah, I was going to say she don't want to, you know, you don't want to push it.
Our entire supplement. Dee Dee is now dining with Doc when Kurt rolls in. Kurt takes the new cabin arrangements about as well as you would expect, but he really doesn't stay around that long. He's kind of a paper tiger, this Kurt.
Yeah, didn't Doc pretty much shut him down?
Yeah,
then and there.
Yep. Like, so the big guy,
I think Kurt's just kind of he's weighing all of his options.
What do you mean? He's got one option, right?
No, I think I think in his mind he feels like he has a million, you know, at least a hundred more options.
He's on just the not boat.
Raised on the boat.
His ass kicked by the ship doctor. That sounds what it was to me. Like,
well, to your point though, Mike, we're down in the dining room, and Nelson now has some eyes for Julie.
Mm-hmm.
And when he goes to kind of smooch, the big guy just rolls right in front, cuts in front of Nelson, and asks Julie for a dance. And Julie's like, nope. And she goes to dance with Nelson instead. So the big guy has struck out now pretty quickly on the rebound here.
He said he likes a filly with a temperament.
Yeah.
What an odd thing to say to somebody.
He owns horses.
Yeah. You know how it is.
Just funny.
He's like Bob Baffert. That's how Bob Baffert talks to women.
You know what? Nelson's great. Already, what a great character this guy is.
He was pretty good.
How can you not root for this guy?
Yeah. He also did the great way I used to date in like West Philly, was you just got to not be the creep in the group and you'll do pretty well. So good job, Nelson.
So. For you, Nelson.
Well, when you got Kurt and the doctor,
yeah,
yeah, you're good.
It's true. That is true.
Here comes Steubing, showing up at Irene's table. But Isaac runs over to tell her that Rudolf Nureyev is on the phone.
So. Who is Rudolf Nureyev? I don't know who this person is.
Ballet dancer, I believe.
I mean, I know Mikhail Baryshnikov, but I'm not like familiar with Russian
Baryshnikov.
Isn't Baryshnikov Russian?
Well, he's a Russian Baryshnikov.
Fair enough.
Steubing hangs around for a little bit before he kind of is like, oh, I guess no one's talking to me, and he kind of skedaddles. So
he went out like a
not like a pansy.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is it didn't make any sense if the whole point was she's trying to have fun. Why would she like get on this phone call when someone's actually approaching her? I don't know what she was trying to
trying to bag the alpha, man.
Yeah, but yeah. She's like, not though.
So she's got the other alphas calling her.
You know what it is? I think maybe you hit on a good point. If he was the alpha, this whole thing would have ended completely differently. But because Steubing isn't on his own ship, the alpha, who's more the alpha on the ship? Is it the Captain Steubing or is it Doc?
Evidently, it's Kurt.
It's definitely not Steubing.
No, it's not Steubing. That's what I'm saying. So, like, maybe that's what it is.
Well, I think maybe what it actually
smell it on him.
Well, but here's the thing. I think the reason she's going through all these machinations is because it's kind of like having caller ID. You want to have that out.
Mm.
And if it's not Steubing, right? If it's like, I don't know, Robert Urich.
Anyone's going to.
Right. She's like, sorry, Rudy. You know, yeah. I'm out of here. So it's like when people get a phone call on a blind date, right? So they can get out of there.
You know.
Mm-hmm. You guys ever been on a blind date?
Most of my dates are blind.
I went on a blind date so bad. I didn't have a car. I came to my house. I had two roommates. We went to this like ice skating rink / like little arcade thing. Like 21, 22, something like that. And it was it was just not cool. And I remember I got back to the where I lived in this apartment. I went in and one of my roommates, you know, was a lady. And I said, look, you got to go out there and just tell her, like, I'm not coming back out. I said, I'd use the bathroom. I'm not coming back out. I'm ever? Like, you can yeah, ever like, I'm not getting back. Like the date is over, but I just didn't have the
chutzpah.
Not the chutzpah. I think it's more the balls.
The date is over.
Yeah. I was like, you got to tell her. I'm like, because I'm not going back out there one way or another. And she went out and handled it. She's like, I will never do that again for you. And I was like, what did she say? She's like, I'm not. No. Yeah. Like, oof.
Hey, nightmare. She's still down the fuck.
Oh. That's rough.
It was hot. It was really, really. And how awkward it is because you're not driving too, so it's like this weird.
Oh man,
oh, it's a bad.
Where is this? Bama,
New Jersey. This is New Jersey.
Jersey
years ago, yeah.
Smash cut to Doc's cabin.
Hey, can we get back to Love Boat, please?
Yeah, sorry.
This isn't sad blind date boat.
Yeah.
Dee Dee is in Doc's bed. And Doc is in the bathroom, and Dee Dee thinks that Doc is going to leave, and Doc thinks that Doc isn't going to leave. So that's here right. We go. Hijinks ensue. So, like, she never indicated that she was down to pound, right? Like, I mean, that was like Doc.
She never said.
Yeah.
He was making that assumption by the fact that, like, she was wearing something a little revealing.
She was dressed up in one of those 70s brassieres. I know that.
The cardboard cone thing.
Except in the first scene where she was not wearing any brassiere at all.
So she's appalled, tells Doc, what kind of woman do you think I am? and starts to hustle him out. Before she can get Doc out of his own room, here comes Kurt, and we get our second physical violence of the entire season.
That's true.
That is a huge question here. The first punch, was it worse or better than that awful, awful, super fake, awful punch?
I will give you $100 if you can tell me who you think threw the first punch. It was a slap, but who threw the first hand of the season prior to this? It was an actress from obviously the 70s. You're never
wrong. Stop.
No, close. Pearl Bailey. Pearl Bailey.
Very close.
Smacked Isaac in the face. And that was the only violence we've had until today when Kurt Stenzel drills Doc right in the mush.
Terrible. Like, they had to do everything right the first time back then, right? Like, you're wasting film. There's no takes and everything.
Yeah. Doc's like, just hit me.
Come up with.
Listen, Ted Capel doesn't have time for this nonsense. Bernie. Just lay it on me.
Bernie Capel. Who is Ted Capel?
Ted Koppel. I keep thinking Ted Koppel and Bernie Capel. That's what it is.
I would watch a Ted Koppel and the doctor.
Like roommates? They're sharing a studio apartment in Manhattan.
this was again well deserved.
Yeah,
I like to think that it was related to last week, but Doc's been a real perv the last few weeks. So
yeah, it's been bad. Yeah,
I agree. Sorry, Adam. We open Act Two. Nelson is walking Julie back to her cabin after a night of dancing. Julie tells Nelson that he just needs some confidence. If you want something, get it.
Come on, Julie.
This is so confusing to me.
Is she
looking for it?
No. Julie has issues in the sense that she's had some bad relationships. She's been with men that were cheating on their wives. She tends to fall for like older men that sort of treat her like crap. She's got a self-esteem thing.
That's not this 25-year-old.
But still, like, I think she's so eager to fall in love. She threw herself at a priest. Like, it's all things like this, which ultimately lead to the worst moment of the series so far. But this is just the beginning. This is just letting you know how bad it's getting. It's like the old watering hole all the animals go to is getting awfully dry down there. Not much water in the old watering hole. So, not Nelson sure.
I feel sorry for Julie.
So do I.
Yeah. Nelson tries to give her a smooch, but Gopher's being all protective this week.
He shoves
him out of the way and pecks her on the cheek. So this is the first of, well, really the second, because I guess he said it to Nelson originally, but the crew members are being very like, Julie's our little sister this week, which again is not consistent by any means, but that's what this week's plot is. So.
Yeah, that's very strange.
It is weird.
For a newcomer, it's not a good look for Julie.
Yeah. So the biggest plot twist here, not plot twist, but plot device, is suddenly all the crew members have cabins like in a quad. Like it's a common,
that's new. Norm.
That's new. These guys have been spread out the whole season, but this tonight, because it's part of the plot, they're all.
But why would Doc have the same size cabin as Gopher? Because you know if they're in the same thing. See, I thought Doc had a room off of his office.
Yeah, that's what we've always thought. We've seen it.
That's where he just beds ladies in there.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of rooms. He's got like seven rooms.
It's everywhere.
But anyway,
they are filled to the gills.
The four main crew members are all basically sharing a common room all of a sudden now out of nowhere after weeks and weeks of being spread out all over the ship. So This is what made it a lot easier for Defile magazine to find them all. So
I've got one question here. Has there been talk of a reboot
of Defile magazine? There was a reboot.
There was a
reboot. Years ago. Yeah.
There already was. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Didn't last very long.
It didn't last long.
We will not be doing that
one too.
Yeah.
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 So now that all the cabins are closed, Doc tries to crash with Isaac because he just got punched in the face and can't stay in his own cabin. Isaac's like, I need that room because I'm hitting on a passenger at the bar. Doc's cool with that.
Doc's like, I get that, man.
Bless Doc him. Respects that.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get that.
Gopher's not home. So they move on to Julie's room. And when Doc gets to Julie's room, he offers to sleep in the bathtub. But before he can sleep in the bathtub, he has to talk to Julie and defend himself for not hitting on Julie, which is just...
This is the worst. Honestly, I feel like this is the worst moment of the show so far this season.
I would agree. This was this was cringy. It made me feel even more sad for Julie, I guess.
Well, here's the thing, right? It didn't mean anything in the end. None of this had anything to do with the way the episode ended. All it successfully did is make Julie look like crazy desperate and sort of crazy. And
it
in
was
this
weird sense, like crisis of it was this weird crisis of confidence about you know, I'm not good enough or whatever. But we've seen you all season be fine, Julie. You've made bad decisions, but it's not like guys have not been interested in you. Like what?
She's just. I'm telling you, she's just trying to. She put her clothes back on
to go out.
That's how she was like. Rawr.
Yeah, that's a young man's game right there.
That's a young like whoa, yeah. But just you. And again, this is where you work.
Well, I will say
down,
this,
Julie.
I have a major problem with what Julie did to Nelson in that next scene because that was leading on. Nelson's just too dumb to realize it. But
well, and we'll get to the next. Yeah, I had a big problem with that scene.
So you're right. So okay. Doc,
hold on,
basically,
hold on. One question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have either of you guys done a full night in a tub?
I have. Yeah.
Yes. Mike Taylor is a yes.
Yeah. No, I don't.
I have
think
not.
So.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
I may have started out in a tub and slept on the bathroom floor, but I've never done a full night in a tub.
What's that? What's that drink? I had it in Germany. It's like green wormwood.
Ecto cooler.
Absinthe.
That's what it was. Ecto cooler. No, absinthe. And I barricaded myself in my bathroom. Slept in my bathroom. I was. That stuff's evil. Anyway.
Doc en route to the tub when Julie asks why he never made moves. Does the little sister bit. Totally fair. Plus, you know, Doc's like 20 years older than you.
Yeah, and what else is he gonna say? Like
you work together. Doc isn't gonna do that to somebody he works with. So really weird scene. But yeah, Julie is so mad she can't sit and read, so she has to get dressed and go back to the bar. We go to the bar and Isaac is making his move on a customer who was not a SAG card member because she had no lines. So Julie comes down angry and she tries to get a drink from Isaac and Isaac's like, I'll get to you. And she again is like another rejection.
She's crazy in her. She's going nuts.
Yeah, this is not great.
What poor time Nelson of night offers. Do you think this is?
What?
What time of night do you think this is? It's like 3 a.m, something crazy. No, there's nobody around.
I think it's midnight. Relatively midnight. Early. Yeah, I think midnight's
okay.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah. So Nelson offers Julie his drink, which is nice. And then she's like, how about you just buy a whole bottle of an Irish whiskey and then we can go back to your cabin and drink it. Now, I don't know how much they upcharge an entire bottle on a boat, but that's not cheap, right? And if you're Nelson, that's like, okay. If Nelson knew what he was doing, right? You're like,
that's
all
what
right.
It takes. Okay, Julie.
Sure.
All right.
So he's like, sure, you got it.
Yeah, but
this and then they roll into the room and she's like, ooh.
But we know that this is nonsense because Julie only drinks hot chocolate at night. She doesn't drink this. Like, that's not what she would do. So I don't know why that whole charade was going on. We know what she drinks in the evening. And she, yeah, like you point, she gets in there and she's just like, oh, okay. She's just using him for a place to.
Right. I think it's the most dick move she's made this year.
Yeah. And there's a $100 charge now on your.
Right. Whatever. For nothing. And you got to go sleep on a deck chair. You're a guest. I work here. I'm your cruise director. How did you enjoy your sleeping on a lawn chair out in the side? I didn't like that. I didn't like
he
that
didn't have to sleep on that deck chair, though. Zero chance. Whatever. Julie was, she was down. Some strange dude's room. Nah,
she was throwing all sorts of mixed signals. So like, he tries to propose to her, which she turns down, and then, like, gives up the scam immediately, says, I was just using you for the room, but then gets offended when Nelson says, I'll leave. I wouldn't want to get fresh with you. Like, this is not great, Julie.
No. She's not very nice sometimes.
Doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, she came in that room because she wanted to get a good night's sleep.
Right.
Like, you didn't need a bottle. What she needed was a room.
Right. And you're the cruise director.
A not her room.
Right.
But with a guy that's just sleeping in the bathtub.
Right. Like,
what about one of Doc's 8 rooms that he didn't use, or the exam room, and there's always some sneaky little.
But here's the thing. Does Doc went into the bathtub, right? He didn't know Julie left. In theory, you're in the bathtub, so you're going to be able to use the bathroom. He's never maybe going out into the other room. So he might have woken up after sleeping in the tub and there was a completely unused bed the whole night.
I'd be mad. I'd be like, why don't you just tell me?
Come on, Julie. Next morning, lots going on the next morning. Kurt shows up at Doc's cabin to talk to Dee Dee. Doesn't punch anybody out yet. Julie's doing a walk of shame back to her own cabin where Doc gives her the third degree. And then Isaac joins in. You know, these two horn dogs. Isaac,
the conscience of
his bow tie was askew. He clearly has been out late. So,
So Isaac. Has there been any interracial on the Love Boat?
No.
All his ladies have been black ladies. The weird part about Isaac has been that he had a torrid affair with a famous musician, and then like 3 weeks later had a longtime girlfriend, and then since then has had a bunch of randos. So.
Timeline didn't match. I think he's just trying to cover himself. He's still hurt over Roxy Blue. So he's just trying to smoke straight through it. Diane Carroll. Yeah.
Yeah. Major hypocrisy here with Isaac and Doc judging Julie for hooking up with passengers, but they kind of play it for laughs, so I'll let it go. I think it was like
wink, wink. Yeah.
You know. But still.
Totally still. So weird.
Here's O'Rourke. O'Rourke's just popping out. I don't even have details on these O'Rourke things. It's just like she's always like right there. Like they should have had her with a glass on a door.
She was great.
I made a note right about here. So before, I think it comes out later, but at this point, how much do you think Nelson is worth?
Like before
if
the
marriage? After he marries, how much was the windfall?
They did say it at the end.
They do say it at the end. Yeah. But at this point,
it's
not clear. I don't think it's clear.
I thought it was I think the number they say at the end is about what I would have been okay with, because I will say this, it wasn't like he was cheaping out right during the cruise.
No, not at all. You know, I don't think he even brought up money. The only time I think he brought up money was at the inheritance. So that leads me to believe I do agree. Then,
but he's dropping. He bought that bottle with no question. Right. You know, he was
But you do believe in the inheritance?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. And he's
you
not
think it's sizable.
Why didn't you just pay some girl to be his wife? Why do you have to come on the boat? Just pay some girl from L.A. because you know he lives right around the corner.
That? Hey. Who gets to write a song about that, dude?
I mean,
hey, didn't he read his hit song "Boat Proposal"? Aruba, Jamaica.
So
Nelson's on the deck. He had to sleep on the deck.
Plenty of leg room in those chairs for such a little man, too. Good thing though.
He could have slept anywhere. He could have slept
anywhere. Yeah.
He looks like Nathaniel Rateliff.
Is he a little guy?
Tiny.
Excellent.
Why did Irene sleep outside?
4'8".
Why did Irene sleep outside?
Because she let... Oh.
No. That night, why did she sleep outside? Is she like just out of her mind? Is she just doing all the drugs? Because she is like...
Yeah, I think
10.
She was out just... party.
Yeah, because there's no accounting for where she was.
Right. Do you think she was just watching Nelson sleep? Of course, Nelson tries to propose to Irene. She's like, I can't. It's against my religion to be married. I'm an avowed swinger.
There you go.
Liar. She's an avowed liar.
She just lies.
Nelson tries to explain the last 7 minutes of the show to Irene, which ends with her offering up her cabin for him to get some tiny, tiny little sleep. So that's nice. Yeah, she's got a lot of energy. Like, she got into Doc's med cabinet. Like, she was up all night.
Yeah, just walking.
So we addressed this earlier, but I think this was like where Stallone and Pacino come up.
Yeah, this was a real run. George C. Scott gets a shout out.
So funny.
And General Patton, but not Dick Van Patten, or both. I don't know.
But it was funny. They went George Scott. They didn't go George or George C. Like, they felt very... They wanted to make sure they didn't somebody think it was George Burns. Like, Jetson.
Like, that is funny. Yeah, that is weird. I don't know why they... interesting.
Hey, George Burns was only 140 years old back
then. True. That's true. I mean...
Even George Jefferson.
Yeah, George Jefferson.
No, we already said no interracial.
Kurt is theoretically apologizing to Dee Dee. Doesn't go great. Like, this got pretty aggressive.
Yeah, I thought so too. It got very aggressive.
So I thought at this point, like, how many sexual assaults have happened on the Love Boat so far?
There's about four
and
last
week. You guys
week.
Told me zero, only two assaults have happened.
Last week was really bad with that.
It was really bad.
Before that, there's been a couple, like, it's mostly been Doc, where it's been more like, no, yes, or something like that. Yeah, he definitely just pulled in one of the twins to kiss at one point.
He just pushes, like, oh, if I can just get a smooch in, I'll win them over with my lips.
Yeah. Like, last couple of weeks have been very aggressive.
Yeah,
now, like I said, comeuppance is had, depending on the level of comeuppance it is. But yeah,
it's been
the only thing that happens is Dee Dee calls him a porker and she throws something at him.
Yeah. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Irene leaves Nelson all snuggled in his bed like a little guy. And she hits the deck.
There she goes.
Now she's got the Kevin Redding perm going. Looks great. Got
the hair
looks
going.
Absolutely great. Looks like she's graduating from my Northeast Philadelphia grade school. Like, this is fantastic. She orders champagne immediately.
She looks great for before noon. Like, look at you, lady. You've been up all night. You look great.
9 a.m. Like, it might be early.
Do you think the captain has Depends on underneath those shorts? Because it looks thick. It looks
he has like he's like diaper butt.
I think there's diapers in the shorts.
I think that's just it's called a condition called captain butt. When you're the captain sea for so long, all that sitting in the chair, it kind of flattens and widens it out. Not an athletic man.
I think he's got like a Donald Duck if he wore pants butt.
I thought it was more like a Donald Trump, like he, yes, you're right.
It could be. Diapers. Yeah, it could be.
The phone rings again, and Isaac does the absolute, we've seen this a couple times. Ring, ring, hello? Mrs. Germaine, hold on. He gives no time for anyone to ask for anybody. It. Like, he immediately runs over and gives her the phone so she can start making moves.
More fake, yeah.
Liz Taylor or Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah, that's exactly the note I have, because Steubing, I guess, is like trying to guess, and I assumed it was Liz Taylor too, and then I assume Charles and Philip are the kids and Annie, so but Steubing, as we've discovered in previous episodes, Steubing is like a bit of a guilty pleasure housewife, so he's probably all up in the royal family.
Oh, you'd love it.
Yeah, so this time Irene gets off the phone so she can actually talk to Steubing. He doesn't just cower away and leave like last time.
Mm-mm.
She called him delicious. Yep. Gorgeous. Captain.
Yuck. So here's where they say, oh, pulling up to Cabo San Lucas. And I realized there was a destination.
Yeah.
Now, is that the same destination every week?
So
they always bounce down Baja.
We have heard pretty regularly it's LA, Cabo San Lucas, Mazatlan, and is that it, Mike, for regular spots? There might be another one.
Acapulco.
Puerto Vallarta. There you go. So yeah, there's a few.
Yeah. It's all normally West Coast, Mexico.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally there's been two kinds of cruises. There's been a 10-day cruise, which seems to be the normal cruise where you hit all the spots. Then they've had a few of these like short theme cruises that only appear to be 3 or 4 days. And when they do those, they very rarely mention that they get off the boat. So I don't know if they're just going in a circle or what, but and you know, of course, who did that announcement that they were stopping at Casa San Luca is the officer of the watch, who didn't announce himself this week, but he's back. So that's a new guy.
At least we're filling it up a little bit. You know, let's fill it up. Let's get more people.
Act three starts with the officer of the watch, like Kev said. And then we kind of jump all over the place here. Doc wants to have a chat with Julie, judging the decline of her moral standards.
Yeah, he's the one that needs to have that talk. Well, and the captain can't because he's throwing himself at some lady.
Yeah. Like I said, they kind of play this for laughs, but just an odd choice, Mike Norell.
But it's funny because this just kind of goes. Julie acted that weird way. And this thing about they're going to have a talk with her about this. And then it just sort of went away.
And then the rest at the end, the last scene.
And then the very end was like,
yeah, you're right. No.
Weird.
The Stubrini romance begins.
Stubrini.
Because Steubing is available in the middle of the day to give a tour of the ship. So
got nothing else to do.
And this is where she mentions
the
president and the Neil Armstrong. Go ahead, Kev.
I said to myself, there was an interaction between, I forget the deckhand's name, and O'Rourke. And I asked myself, is he going to have to bang O'Rourke? So yeah. I'm just throwing yep. that out.
It's funny because
this is real time right here.
No, and it's funny because it's not this one yet. There's like, I didn't see that necessarily coming. Like, in terms of their dynamic was this, and then at some point, like, it almost felt like begrudging respect that turned into love.
Like, yeah, they were like, hey, Tiger. Like punching each other, like, Chief.
Well, she already gave him money, so now you have this weird cash involved in this whole transaction.
That's a Defile write-off. If Defile is in fact rebranded Scuttlebutt, they have now spent money on two reporters going on the boat.
Scuttlebutt a previous rag that infiltrated the Love Boat?
Scuttlebutt was the rag that tried to bring down Congressman Dick Van Patten.
Yeah, Vicki Lawrence worked for him. Not Mama, but Vicki Lawrence.
Episode 16.
Yeah.
Also, high foreheads get a lot of play on this ship, so I think we'd all do well.
Like Kev said, O'Rourke kind of gives Gopher a recap of all the action that's happening on the boat, and Gopher tried to kind of explain it, but you know, what are you gonna do? Like, it's crazy times.
Yeah.
Stubing tries to get into Irene's cabin, but that doesn't work because Nelson's still asleep. Little guy is just sleeping in the bed, like a little sleepy guy.
How many hours is he sleeping there?
I mean, it could have been 10 minutes.
But how much does little guy need sleep? I bet you he needs less sleep than a regular sized man.
Or he needs more.
Isn't that? Well, it's one or the other. Obviously, it's more. It went the other way.
You know that. Tiny humans need more sleep.
You ever hear of a baby, Mike?
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense. Yeah, but I'm talking like full-grown baby.
Oh, full-grown, like big babies?
They do need a lot of sleep. Yeah.
Glenn Davis? Stubing thinks that Nelson is a stowaway immediately.
Of course.
Great. So,
of course.
But then he gets caught up on the storyline. And he gets Irene to go to his cabin. But just as they're about to head out to the cabin for some Stubing lovemaking, he gets a call on the intercom and he's got to go. Yeah. Duty calls.
He called them and said, if I'm ever alone with a lady, call out this thing.
This has got to be the most like ironic cock block, right? It's like we spent the whole season talking about how Stubing doesn't do anything, and now somebody's just screwing with them. They're just like, oh, look at the captain. He's talking to a girl.
If they don't summon you to the bridge when the boat's leaving, you're in the middle of the...
They probably just needed like a refill on snacks. Just that's what something. They call them.
How do I look in these shorts? Just something dumb.
Did I poop my pants?
You're wearing all white.
Back in the dining room, Nelson shoots and misses on a random lady, and then Doc goes in, swoops that lady right up, and Nelson's like, what am I doing wrong?
Ack.
This is where it occurred to me that a captain's dinner scene would have been interesting.
I agree.
So, Kev, early on in the season, there were a lot of captain's table dinners, which we've been told by many of the cruise people is an actual thing. And it would be Stubing and at least some characters from one of the storylines. It would always end terribly. There would be a fight or some nonsense. But it was a good way to kind of intermingle some stories. With this storyline being all intermingled, I thought it'd be perfect, and they have not done it. Maybe they lost the table.
Something. So, I don't know what they did, but yeah, it's odd that it just stopped.
Yeah.
It just stopped. No short jacket. Because that was a thing for a while, too. Yeah. When's the last time we saw a short jacket other than the one Doc wore in the hallway?
Probably was it the stubby? Was that the last short jacket captain's dinner?
It might have been. That's
crazy.
Are we still in the captain's room, or has she already left?
No, we're not there yet.
We're not okay. there yet.
Yeah. So we are getting there though. So this is now that night, and Steubing and Irene are dancing. They're, you know, clearly whatever had to call him away earlier in the day has been resolved. They're dancing. This is when he invites her back to the cabin. She's like, let me get a glass of champagne. And then he's like, or, and then she's like, oh, lots of champagne, like some nonsense like that. So
yeah,
she's
a whole bottle of champagne.
Yeah. I think she's got a drinking problem. That's the first problem.
Well, also I think before they go back to the room, there's a little interaction with O'Rourke and Gopher.
Yeah.
And she wants a, she calls for a beer neat.
Yes. Yes.
Beer neat.
That's when I finally realized, oh, these guys might be en route. That scene. Again, flawless. Every scene O'Rourke was in, flawless.
What it reminded me of was when we were at Oscars and those guys would buy like a juice glass of ice and like drink beer out of the like iced juice glass. Like,
like
buy a bottle of beer and a juice glass of ice.
Yeah.
Just drink little classic
beer. Classic O'Rourke. That's what they called it. They called it was an O'Rourke, or some places you call it a defile.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get a defile.
Depends what part of town you're in.
Right. Above Broad or below Broad.
Mm-hmm. West of 50, east of 50.
Dee Dee is getting advice. This was weird. Dee Dee is getting advice from like some far out couple who are like, you need to get space, man. And like,
it was true swingers of the
boundaries. And
yeah.
What a weird, this is a weird scene.
But they basically are there. They're basically there to set up Kurt to get shut down, because Kurt comes over a little more subdued, a little more apologetic, maybe.
Still very Kurt, though. Don't get it twisted.
But his attempt at a slightly more modest approach gets shot down because he's just like, I need space, and everybody laughs. So that didn't go well.
That's funny.
I think, Kev, this is where Gopher buys O'Rourke the beer. O'Rourke opens up by predicting the sex fiends are going to go berserk tonight.
They're going to go crazy.
And they didn't. The only people who went berserk were Gopher and O'Rourke, but
yeah,
nobody knew that at the time.
Love it. Love it.
All right, now we're in the captain's cabin. Stubrini is in the captain cabin, and moves are being made. We finally get the first Steubing physical contact of the entire season. We are in the fourth act of
it is.
I mean, it's the most he's done.
Remember with Jack Tripper?
No, he just kind of glad-handed him.
That's true.
We're missing something here, because he pulls the like the classic 70s. Let me go get on something more comfortable.
Yeah, a guy?
He gets out of his captain shorts and goes and puts on a tuxedo.
Here's what. Why would a guy say that?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Why would a guy say that? What's
it's
more comfortable?
Because he's wearing adult diapers with this.
That's what it was. You hear Velcro in the bathroom. Shunk,
shunk. So he gets, just to explain it, he literally is like, can I give you a kiss? She says, yes. He gives her a kiss. He immediately retreats to the bedroom to slip into something more comfortable, which is a tuxedo.
No. So weird. No. Why would he wear a tuxedo? He's at work. What are you doing? It doesn't even make sense.
Late at night, right? Like,
sir, it's 1 a.m. What are you?
That's what Julie said.
Or, you know, the camera shot, though.
Something more comfortable.
You know, the camera shot.
My formal wear.
The camera does not show below his waist. He could just have a coat on and nothing down below. We don't know.
Fucking boner.
Irene freaks out and calls to try and get somebody to page her, I guess. And then, of course, Stubing shows up. Jimmy shows up in a tuxedo, hearing this woman that he kissed for 4 seconds, just dead panic to get anyone to call her fake name over the intercom. It's just, it's not going well for Stubing. Mike, I'm sure you were torn up about this.
Yeah, it really got me. It was weird. It was weird.
Irene gives up the ghost on the fraud, on the scam, mm-hmm. which just shows how little she wanted to touch Stubing.
Yeah.
She immediately like just bails on her whole story. So
it's when funny Stubing, though. Yeah. I was just going to say, it's funny. Like she kind of lays out what she craves, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a husband, I mean, she can cook, clean, and iron for, right? And Stubing's like, oh, that's not me.
Like, but oh. Like the foreshadowing is,
you know, so where it's going
in your face.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, and it, like, it makes me feel like a smarter man watching shows. Because like, I said to myself, "Well, she should get with that show."
Well, and the other thing too is at the end of the scene, he makes Stubing says like in called her a magnificent woman. I mean, like, Meryl, have some damn respect for yourself, dude. Come on. He's so ridiculous. She does not want, like, just ask her to leave. Ask her to get off the boat. Like, just,
yeah, you should keyhaul her. You probably just should keyhaul her.
Put her in the brig.
So, long story short, Stubing or Irene realizes that she doesn't need a one night stand, but she actually wants a husband that she can do things for her. You know, like she did for her ex-husband. To Kev's point, we have foreshadowing here. But my favorite part is, like what you said, like Stubing's like, that's not me. And I'm like, man, watch episode one. You know that's not him.
He chose the sea. I got no time for you.
So
we can talk about shipwrecks, but not anything else.
Yeah. So this sends Irene to the deck where she's sobbing. But who's sobbing out there too? It's our boy Kurt.
Of course he is. We saw that
coming. It's like Mike Robertson's wedding all over again.
Tears of a clown everywhere. Yeah, this is very obvious. The big guys don't cry. That was the big guy's motto. Classic Fergie song. Kurt has been jilted, but he also admits that he has an ego problem. So a little bit of self-reflection from the big guy there.
Right. Yeah, but we know it, you know.
Yeah.
He's probably a couple sheets into the wind.
My notes are these two are going to go back and destroy a cabin.
Yeah. Like, somebody's cabin. I hope Nelson's awake. Get Nelson out of there. Good Lord, he's going to see things he never thought are humanly possible. No. Wake up, Nelson. Please wake up.
Nelson is really drunk at the bar. He's like cartoon drunk at the bar. But Dee Dee shows up and Nelson offers to buy her a drink. Scotch and water, I believe. But he's so drunk that Isaac's just like, won't flag him, right? Definitely won't flag him, but we'll make jokes about how he won't remember those drinks and such. But then he offers to show pictures of his rabbit back at the cabin, and Dee Dee offers to go back with him. So we're in the home stretch now.
Pictures of the rabbit.
Who knew?
Who knows what works? Yeah. Then he says he has a picture, a rabbit scrapbook, and that actually gets Dee Dee back to the room. So there you go, kids. Alcohol and rabbit scrapbooks.
There you go.
That's how you get a woman. Then they run out on the bill, which I thought was pretty funny. They were just like,
funny.
Yeah, Isaac's like, funny. What about the bill? And Dee Dee's like, don't worry about it or something like that. So
she was ready to get out of there.
Eat it.
Funny.
The next morning, originally I thought that Nelson might have scored.
He comes in
with breakfast in bed.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah. But Dee Dee's fully dressed. And it turns out that he passed out right into the rabbit scrapbook. So no moves were made.
So have we hit where he serves her?
Yeah,
her coffee.
Before, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. So she asks for sugar. And it's like a little puns, like, oh, did you call me honey? Did you call me sugar? Whatever. Doesn't matter. She takes some sugar and puts it in her coffee and stirs it around and puts a big wet spoon right back into the sugar. That bother anybody else?
I didn't know that. That's
the worst crime.
I didn't notice that
this week.
I feel like you also watch magicians' hands during magic shows.
I mean, you should
see. So because Nelson was because Nelson brought her coffee, she was like, "This is nice. All men are jerks. You're sincere after this lone act of kindness. Marry me."
This lone act of not being Kurt Stenson.
Right. Like you haven't threatened
not
to punch
being
me.
The guy that wore some sort of like he had like a all leather suit on
him. You could hear him coming. Just
it's one of Isaac's suits.
Nogahide.
Hose himself down with Sex Panther, threatening to smack people. That guy's just, he's a lot.
It was such a weird, unnecessary turn. And I guess they boxed themselves in, but like, why did that happen so fast?
When in the end result, you're like, see, kids? You don't have to stop being a chauvinist to end up. Look, his life is so much better now.
Right.
Oh.
If you wait long enough, there'll be a woman who gets it.
Just you be you.
Look, he got this fake rich woman. He lost a set of tits, but whatever.
He's going to be so mad when he finds out that she's not famous.
Yeah, he's not going to be. He'll threaten to hit her 5 times before he finds that out. Yeah.
So we find out how much he's worth.
We do. If they get married before Friday, what was that number?
$3 million.
$3 million.
$3 million.
But she asked him to marry her before he asked her, and that's why he knew.
That's right.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm rooting for him, but I'm like,
so how much is 3 mil worth now? What, 78?
56. I don't know. I don't know.
I'm going to bet 7.9 million. And we'll never know if that's true or not. What time is it when all of this is happening?
The next morning? The
morning?
14.
Yeah. 14 million.
It's 14. Wow.
Yeah. I think this is the morning of the end of the cruise.
Okay. That's
back in LA.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy, right?
Yeah, really. They really are. It's a very
pages out. Mm.
Yeah. So this is where it just gets weird because I guess they're celebrating in Nelson's cabin. Is that the
Yeah.
Okay. So everyone from the episode just randomly shows up in Nelson's cabin. No real reason for a lot of them to be there, like even in the hallway. They just happen to like get dragged in. And literally everybody in the show this week is in that cabin celebrating what for some people is a
complete
stranger.
They're celebrating the wedding.
What?
They're celebrating the wedding.
They didn't get married, though.
Yeah, no, they announced
they're
wedding
getting
plans.
Married immediately. She asked if they can do.
Right. But I don't think they got married in the cabin.
Yeah, as soon as they get off the boat, they're going to do it.
I assumed the captain being there meant I can marry you as a captain.
They could have.
Oh,
they could have.
That could have been, yeah.
Maybe.
It was just weird. Everybody just piles into that room, including like, you know,
those rooms aren't that big.
Man, that's my fiance who's now engaged to this little guy.
Doc, like, are you know, Doc not going to try to punch him because he punched him in the face? And then
that's a good woman to get
awkward. That's just a powder keg.
It was a weird scene. It was like
clown car.
You know,
it's like if you stuffed a bunch of people onto a hot freshwater boat for a wedding or something.
You know, this Simpsons episode that Rodney Dangerfield's on, and like just at the end, they just start having a party at the end. That's what it felt like.
It did. Kenny Loggins is playing. There's fireworks. They're on a pontoon boat.
All right. Yeah. It was
a happy ending.
So O'Rourke is out there just like overcome with all this. The storylines, like, you know, coalescing into one, and she's going to explode. And Steubing shows up. Why? Why is Steubing around? Like,
such an idiot.
And Gopher comes out. He's like, "Come on, Captain Steubing, you're the one thing missing from this party." Like, he's never the one thing missing from this party.
Until they need an officiant.
That would make sense. That actually would make sense. But
I think they would have mentioned. So who reads Defile?
Creeps.
Yeah, not much to read after this episode.
Yeah, I don't think she defiles the story.
Did it go the way of
Scuttlebutt?
She ripped it out. Scuttlebutt. She didn't send it in. Probably changed its name.
Is it just her? Is she the CEO of Scuttlebutt and Defile?
Well, Frank and the reporter. Frank was the editor of Scuttlebutt, but we never did get O'Rourke's first name, so I guess it's possible.
Could be Frank O'Rourke.
Steubing's kind of a dick, right? Gopher's like, "You're the one thing missing from this part," and he's like, "Go get champagne." But Gopher shows him, and he just gets O'Rourke, and they go back to his cabin. So nobody gets champagne. Suck it, Steubing. And that's when we kind of realize what's happening. No champagne for you, Meryl. Act 5, generally unnecessary, as it always is, but we do get that weird scene at the end. So everybody's pretty much saying their goodbyes, or Rourke runs through her notes and realizes that the only people who actually hooked up this whole thing were her and Gopher, and rips up her notes. There is no story. There's no story to be had for Defile this week.
No.
What do you think the lead story of Defile is now?
Could be, coming up empty. I don't know. Devil baby found. Who knows? No.
Wow.
Who knows?
I like to think that it's
I'd like to think it's like a weekly world news thing.
I hope it's like an expose on I'm trying to think of a good storyline from like a really lame one, like the elevators on the boat, like the one that George Jefferson got stuck on.
Did you see that chef in the background this week?
No.
Walking across? I don't know who it was. I didn't get a good look at him, but it
just
was a
walking chef across. Walking,
in one of the hall scenes from right to left. Yeah.
Like in chef garb?
Mm-hmm.
Wonder if that was a mistake. Or like he's on a different show.
It's like 3 minutes and a baby. It's one of those like ghost scenes.
Oh no, it's the ghost of the dead chef.
Ghost of the dead chef.
R.I.P. nameless chef. So here's the weird ending. So everybody's got the five crew members are kind of gathered around. They're kind of doing a recap, which again sometimes happens, sometimes doesn't. But and everybody's like, "I had a weird week. I had an unusual week," and all of this. And then Steubing, Julie, and Doc do this labored Chinese dinner metaphor. That is clearly connotating that none of them got any action. And in some cases, it's been so long, they don't remember what action is like.
MSG reference.
It is. No, Kev, again, you wouldn't appreciate it as a one-time viewer because they give no context outside of this episode.
Yeah, but that's not an accurate
statement. It's not.
At all.
It's not. Like, Julie and Doc have gotten action in the last, let's say, three or less episodes. Steubing, this was his first action. He's allowed to be And Mike, are we even counting this when we made that bet about Stubing action? He had a smooch and then jumped into a tuxedo. I don't even know if that counts.
I don't think that counts. That definitely does not count. He's a fool. Yeah.
So it was just very unusual, a weird inconsistency again.
Big time.
For both characters, Julie and Doc especially. But Gopher wins because Gopher, like, just loves Chinese food. He loved banging at work. It was great. And that's it. That's how it ends.
Good with Gopher winning.
Yeah, I agree.
Good with that.
So that's how that episode ends. Little odd ending.
It probably
could have ended with that party, honestly. But
it, like,
most of the times with Act Five, it's almost 90% of the time is unnecessary.
Well, O'Rourke could have thrown her like notebook and like, and then she joins the party too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, roll, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But freeze frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good.
Totals and a recap for this week. King of the Mountain. I will say this. Now that we've talked about it, and I feel like whenever we talk about these, I find holes in them, which I think is probably the point.
Sure.
But I think without remembering what the second best episode is of the season, this could be the second best episode.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. It was really good. Is it the best? It's
so hard to judge it because it is so different.
Yeah, it's so different. I would definitely put it in the top three. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's the best, but I'd say top three.
Yeah.
I'd be comfortable anywhere in that top three.
I really think that's fair. And I do think I'd be curious to see if they do any more of these one writer ones. Because it would be a much different show. And maybe they can't do it like that because of the guest star load. Like, these were not big guest stars. And maybe they do shoot these things out of sequence, but
it's
like,
gotta be cheaper.
You would think so, right? But it was
so. I would like your other two best episodes. Give them a watch.
So our current champion is episode five, which actually also stars Michelle Lee.
Yeah,
as a much more demure housewife who thinks her husband's trying to kill her when he's just trying to throw her a surprise party. It's got the aforementioned Isaac Rockstar
Italian.
It's got Jim Nabors as a jewel thief.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a strong episode.
It's pretty good.
That one and 20. 20 is probably the other.
We did like 20. That's right.
We did like 20.
Four is pretty good,
yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of melting into each other, but I think that's probably the best one.
It's the Rushmore so far, I would say.
It's as we do more, they get a little more jammed up in my head. So.
I'm glad that I got a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a good one.
You couldn't, honestly, as a one-off, this is as good as you're going to get. If you had picked last week, you would have been pretty disappointed.
Yeah, it would have been upset.
Because we spent most of the episode talking about how much we hated it. So.
Yeah.
Who is Captain the guest on that one?
What?
Who is the guest on that one?
Leslie Nielsen.
No, the guest. Me.
Oh, we didn't have a guest.
We didn't have a guest last week.
That's good.
Yeah, it was lucky for us. Lucky for the guests that would have
lucky
been
lucky for everybody.
Lucky for the listeners. Lucky for everybody.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been fun.
Captain of the Week, Best of the Week. Kevin, what was the best thing from this episode?
The best thing was probably, well, I'm not going to say that. I like the 70s pushback against the rampant machismo.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
I feel like there was much more of a pushback against it this week than there was last week.
It was a little bit last week.
Like the heavy machismo got it back. The limited doc machismo got it pushed back. And fuck them. Yeah.
Right in the face. Got it right in the face, Bushbag. Mike, Captain of the Week.
Oh, Nelson. Come on. Rooting for him the second he got on the ship. So good for you, Nelson.
I mean, you've been waiting for Paul Williams for months.
Big fan. Big fan.
Paid off. And you didn't think it was Artie Johnson?
Not this time. I'm sure I will again, but not today.
Yes. No. Today you got it.
Today I got it.
I'm going with, and you can probably guess based on how many times I said it, the Gopher O'Rourke pairing. I'm going with that.
Can't argue
with that. Yeah, I agree with that.
Every scene, it had a weird, like, Humphrey Bogart quality.
There's a good timing. There's just a good timing to it and the way they talked.
It was really good. Really liked it. Walk the Plank, worst of the week. Michael.
Irene Funston's storyline. It was so full of holes and it just didn't make any sense. But you need all this to have, you're trying to find some guy to clean and cook for, but you're taking fake phone calls from these people. It just, I don't know what's going on there. For me, boo, two thumbs down, boo, boo. Couldn't boo.
Even though it led to your mortal enemy, Captain Steubing, looking like an idiot?
He's going to look like an idiot no matter what. We didn't need this.
The something more comfortable thing was hilarious. Yeah, I mean, he's just, that really was.
Yes.
Walk the Plank, Kev.
I mean, like, I'm going to, like, follow a little suit. I talked about the adult diapers. Like, the captain is just kind of a, I don't even know what he is.
He's a goofball. Like,
he's not a captain. I know that much. He doesn't deserve one of these.
No, he doesn't. Just because you wear a hat doesn't make you a captain.
You got shorts and you go in and you like I put on something more comfortable. That's something a woman says, and you come out in a tuxedo. Like,
he's just an idiot.
Something
he's
less just comfortable.
It's something like way less comfortable than the shorts that you were wearing. Like,
also,
what the fuck are you talking about?
By the way, we've all worn tuxedos. He got changed really.
I've worn a tuxedo. I've worn shorts. Guess which one I would rather.
It's underneath.
Wear.
It's underneath.
I didn't like the Julie weird turn, but it wasn't in there enough. Kurt obviously was terrible, but that was like
on purpose.
You knew what they were doing there. I liked that Doc got punched for last week's crimes. I thought that was important. So I'm going to go with worst of the week being Nelson's grandfather, who wrote a ridiculous clause into his will to leave his grandchild $3 million that he had to be married by age 25.
Like, what a jerk.
That's ridiculous, Nelson's grandfather.
Poor guy.
That Hogue money. Like, you should love your son regardless of the married or not. So.
But it was his, didn't you say it was his grandfather?
Yeah.
So maybe he did love his son and just hated his grandson.
That's true. Well, joke's on him. Because now he's married. And he's got all that cash.
How long do you give Nelson and Dee Dee?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I wonder if there's like a clause in the will or if it's just get married.
Just get married.
I mean, I would assume that Nelson going on this voyage would have made sure there was something in the cards. But he was also asking everyone to marry him. So I don't know if that's right.
Which of the three relationships last the longest that left the boat? Gopher and O'Rourke.
No. Kurt. It's not even a competition, because if she even thinks about breaking up, he's going to be like, I'll give you such a punch. Come on. Hey, he's not allowed to leave. Like,
hey, you're the second best animal I've ever stabled.
Yeah. Why are there crust on these sandwich? Like, what is going on anyway?
This is all I wanted.
But it was definitely fun.
Hey, wait. Crust? What crust? They're gone, baby.
But definitely a fun episode.
Yeah,
that was good.
This was good. So that's Totals and a Recap for this week. Plugs, Michael?
Nothing to plug. Nothing for me.
You're going to plug the show?
Oh, I guess I could plug our show. Well, before I plug the show, I just, it's that time of week. It's that time of the episode.
Oh, sorry. We're going to check the mailbag. My apologies.
Check the old mailbag. Let's see if we got any.
There's just so many letters every week. I always forget.
No email. No email.
Well, you know what? To be fair.
Did you get mine?
Yeah, no emails came from.
To be fair, last week we did ask our Canadian listeners to help out with the Hollywood Walk of Fame location in Canada. So
we'll see what happens.
That episode hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, there's nothing. There's nothing in there.
No, not the.
And then we have 13% of our audience is Canadian. So we want to. It's a shout out.
It's
a shoot out to our Canadian brother.
Who's that guy?
What?
You can find us anywhere you get your audio podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Music, Amazon Music. Also, check out our Instagram, Love Boat Project. Look for the reels out weekly. You can join our Facebook group, Love Boat Project. On Facebook. Also, the aforementioned email address is theloveboatproject@gmail.com.
You could be the first person to send in an email.
You could be.
But we have recorded these very much ahead, so maybe we've already gotten your email.
Maybe. I'm sure we have. I'm sure inbox is full. So thank you. Thank you from all our Canadians.
Thank you to all our all you hosers.
Yeah.
Well, Kev, any last thoughts on this baby and your Love Boat experience?
Thanks for having me on. Thanks for exposing me to a good episode of the Love Boat. And I think you guys should run this through for another. Trying to think of what would your guys. Next podcast, what show do you think you would come down on?
I mean, we're not doing another TV
just
show.
Off the top of your head right now.
This thing's got 250 episodes. We're not doing another show.
Yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be a bit. We're in for the long haul.
And I will tell you this, next episode that you're on.
How many seasons are there?
9 or 10, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Next episode that you're on will not be a good episode. We will purposely make sure that you don't get two good episodes.
We don't want that to happen.
You'll get a real clunker.
Hey, I'm sure that'll do great for your ratings, buddy. Me and a bad episode.
All right, well, that'll do it. Happy baseball season. Happy Easter week for everybody watching. We will be back next week with episode 23. Which I do not remember what it is, but
I don't either. I didn't look ahead.
It obviously is not as exciting as this synopsis, because this is why Kevin picked this one. And he was proven right. So always believe the synopsis. But until that time, thanks for joining, and we will talk to you again next time.